So this is a subject that I've talked with quite a number of people about. I've talked with Timothy and Nikki a few times, talked with Aaron about this subject, and I've just decided, you know what? I should organize my thoughts a little bit and preach it. And there are some subjects that, as a young preacher, I naturally should avoid, like raising children or something. But this one, on the other hand, is the opposite. And I actually, as a young person, have an advantage in preaching this subject, because it falls on the exact opposite side of the spectrum. In that sometimes children, if an older person is preaching on raising children and, you know, children honoring and respecting the parents, it's easy for people to look, and you have this feeling in your heart that the preacher is preaching it for personal gain. And being a young person myself, there isn't any possibility of that happening. I'm not preaching this for personal gain, because the subject that I'm preaching today is young people submitting themselves to the elder or following the elder. And I'm using today Elisha as an example. The title for my message is Elijah's Servant. Elijah's servant was, of course, Elisha. So we're going to do a lot of looking at his life, and then a number of other people. I plan to look at Joshua, who was Moses' servant, very briefly, and David, who was Saul's servant. And even I want to bring out one little parallel from the life of Jesus himself. But most of the time I think will be spent on Elijah's servant, but I got a little introduction I got to go into first. Honoring old people, being a servant in general. But if you'll open your Bibles right now to 1 Peter, I'm going to read one verse out of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning we can be here. And I pray that you would just give me a clear mind and help me to speak truthfully, with the right spirit. And Father, I just pray you would open up our hearts to hear these things this morning. Amen. I'm not even fully sure how this ties in, but I just feel like it does, so I'm going to just read a couple verses from the Old Testament, or actually just one verse. In Leviticus 19:32, we read, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." And this is just so interesting to me, that a man, that in the Old Testament, it was national law that if a man with gray head walked into a room, the young people were to rise to their feet to honor him. This was law. Just honoring the old. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Then he says, "I am the Lord." And I get the idea when you read this phrase, "I am the Lord." God's saying, you don't necessarily have to understand this. It probably should be pretty obvious to honor the old. But when God says, "I am the Lord," what he's saying is, do this because I said so. Do this because I told you to. That was just one brief introduction. And then if we turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Being a servant is a common Bible doctrine. Everybody is at least somewhat familiar with it. To some extent, these are actually pretty familiar verses. Mark 9:33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for they by the way had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." If we turn one page, probably, chapter 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And I'm not planning on spending much time on this angle of being a servant, but these verses do lay a foundation necessary for the idea and for what I am planning on teaching. I just want to lay this out as a quick foundation. I intend to spend my time focusing on the importance of a young person being servant to, not so much just being a servant in general, but being a servant to one person in particular. It's important for a young person to be a disciple of somebody, a young believer, I should say. And that's what I'm planning on focusing on. Because I just bring these verses in because you can't be a servant to one person until you first know how to be a servant in general. But Elisha, that's where I plan to spend my time. There were many sons of the prophets during Elisha's time. They're all unnamed and unknown. Yet Elisha, on the other hand, is a major Bible name. And the Bible gives us some hints about this man. If you want to turn back the Old Testament, we'll do a bit of turning today. If you don't want to follow me around, you don't have to. But it can be good. 2 Kings chapter 2. Reading the first 15 verses. "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he says, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as this still went on and taught, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. This story is, of course, not just the story of Elijah's death, but it's the story that portrays the character of Elisha. He was told here, if you see me, Elijah said, if you see me when I leave, then your request will be granted you and you will receive the double portion of my spirit. And in some respects, some would say, this story holds the key for who Elisha was. And they'd be largely right. But there's another story that we gotta bring into this. In 1 Kings 19:19, we read, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat, that he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And here this gives us another glimpse into the life of Elisha. And we understand more clearly why he refused to part with Elijah, because he had done it once before. When Elijah first came to him and threw his mantle on Elisha, Elisha says, let me go, and then I'll follow you. You remember the story? Elisha went and slew the oxen and burned the yoke to cook the flesh of the oxen and gave it to the people that were working. As we would say, he burned his bridges behind him. And he went on and followed Elijah. And though these two stories grasp the big picture very well, there's one little lone verse that sums it up in entirety. Some of you might remember the story. Jehoram, the son of Ahab, had just began to reign, and the Moabites rebelled against him. So Jehoram goes and gets Jehoshaphat, and they join together for battle. And when they're talking about battle suggestions, Jehoshaphat suggests, we need to go through the land of Edom when we make our attack. And in the process of traveling through Edom, the king of Edom actually joins them. So now you have three kings together fighting the Moabites. And their plan was to go through the wilderness of Edom. And they realize after a couple of days that they've made a big mistake because there's no water here. The animals and the men were all parched. And the king of Israel said in 2 Kings 3:10, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. And as the story turns out, we read a couple verses after that, that Elisha said, Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. That's the story. But I want to zoom in on this one little phrase. Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. The servant could have said, I know a man who is a prophet. His name is Elisha. He could have said, This man parted the waters of Jordan and walked across. But no, he says, This man was Elijah's servant. He could have said, This man is experienced with water too. This couple verses previous to that story, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, we read, And then the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from hence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. The servant could have said, Hey, I know a prophet. He already has experience with water. He's the guy that healed the spring over there at Jericho. We could call him over here. No, he says, I know a man who was Elijah's servant. Or they could have gone about this differently. They could have said, Hey, I know a man that when he curses somebody, they're cursed. The story of the 42 children that had been torn by the she-bears had also already happened by this time in Elisha's ministry. He cursed the children. The two she-bears came out and tore 42 of them. He says, the man could have said, Well, hey, why don't we just go get Elisha to curse the king of Moab? When he curses a man, this man is cursed. But no, I know a man who was Elijah's servant. That's what qualified Elisha for this job. They didn't find Elisha because of his previous success. They found Elisha because of who he had served. It's very important for a young person that desires to be anything in life, to become the servant of somebody. I would rather see the young people here make themselves a disciple of Dale Toll and come out the other side a dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist than just have them bounce around their entire life, grabbing a little nourishment from this man, a little from that man, a little from here and a little from there. God calls us to be sheep, not scavengers. Yet in these homeschool circles, it seems to be such a common thing for families to just bounce around from this place to that place, to scavenge what nourishment they can from this and from that. But if you want to grow, make yourself a sheep and learn to do a little following. I don't mean, of course, to flush your brain down the drain. I don't mean to stop thinking for yourself. But do learn to be a servant and follow, even if the man isn't perfect. And I hear the arguments. I hear the arguments already. Elijah was a godly man. I don't know anybody that I could submit myself unto and serve. I don't know a man that I respect enough that I could become his disciple. All the churches around here have problems. This church teaches this. That church teaches another thing. Well, if you want to argue that way, I will too. And let's look at another man, David. God had already anointed David king of Israel. But what was the first step that he was called to? Being a servant to Saul. Being a servant to Saul was the first step in the training for David to be king. Elisha was made prophet in the room of Elijah, but he did not have the opportunity to exercise that room for quite some time until Elijah died. And David was made king long before Saul died, but David did not have the chance to exercise that right until Saul died. And God may have called you to preach. God may have called you to some place of service. But that doesn't necessitate that you are to start now. Maybe your job now is just to be a servant to someone else who has that office. But in the end, whether aspiring to be a preacher or not, it is still your responsibility, it's still my responsibility to, as much as possible, put yourself under the authority of the truest church you can find. If you want to be something useful for God, the first step is going to be to make yourself servant to someone who is being used by God. By God's grace, I am what I am. And when I look back in the past few years of my life and I see the choices that I made, the roads that God's brought me through, I see one choice that I guess I should say opened me up to God's grace to bring me, I guess, even to this pulpit. And that was being a servant to Timothy. I remember sitting in Timothy and Nikki's living room visiting with Timothy. And he made the comment, if only I had 20 young people that I could put to work, then I could get so much done. And I decided I'm going to do my best to be one of those. I'm going to do my best to be one of those young people. And I guess I look back and I say that such a decision was absolutely essential. Something that every young person needs to do. But not only Elisha, not only David, but when Moses died, who was his position given to? Was it given to one of his sons? No. Was it given to some great prince or noble? No. It was given to Moses' servant, Moses' minister, Joshua. Being useful for God is going to begin by washing the hands of the prophet of God, as Elisha did. It's going to begin by playing the harp for the king, as David did. And it's going to begin by being a servant to Moses, as Joshua was. And then when we come to the New Testament, remember Jesus, when he was in the temple, asking the doctors questions? Why was he asking questions? Was it because he needed to learn? No. He was God. He was asking questions because that was his place. Let me read the story. The second chapter of Luke, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Can you believe it? God himself was subject to man. But that's the truth. And then further, when it was time for his ministry to start, where did it start? Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus said, I'm doing this because it's proper. And how much more proper is it then for you and for me to place ourselves under the ministry of somebody, if possible? Or if it's more applicable to the situation, start your ministry under the authority of another man. Even Jesus started his ministry under the authority of what had already been established. In just a few minutes of conclusion, I remember when Jeff was over building a Russian fireplace, and I was supposed to be tending for him. But I was also trying to lay stones because it was more fun. And so Jeff would frequently run out of mud on his board. These were his words to me. Ezra, nobody ever made a good mason that didn't first make a good tender. That phrase sums up my entire sermon. Nobody ever made a good mason that didn't first make a good tender. You won't be a good mother unless you first learn how to be a good girl for your mother. If you want to be a good father, learn now how to be a good son to your father. Nobody ever made a good teacher that didn't first make a good student. You say, well, look at Martin Luther. He left every establishment in religion. And I say, yes, but look at him. While he was in school, he was the best student that school had. And that's what I'm saying. His dedication to his masters laid the foundation for who God had called him to be, even though he had to unlearn most of the things he was taught. I say, stand on the shoulders of giants, even if they have 6 fingers on each hand. Don't learn the errors that your teachers would teach you. But don't forsake the idea of having a teacher just because he has an error. No one ever made a good mason who didn't first make a good tender. No one ever made a good teacher who didn't first make a good student. And if you aspire to be something in the Christian life, the road to being that is going to be to make yourself servant to some man of God. Follow him as he follows Christ. Be what Timothy was to the Apostle Paul. It's a couple minutes early, but I want to close anyway, since I'm done with my notes. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, I pray that you would help us, especially us young people, to take this and apply it to ourselves properly. Father, help us to truly submit to the elder. Make ourselves servants to your servants. Father, help us, train us to be the soldiers for Christ that we need to be. That we could fight the battles that need to be fought. That we could stand up for the truth that needs to be stood up for. Amen.